Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about the Peace Parks of North London project. We are creating a peace park from a vacant lot, one part of the park at a time, one weekend at a time. We are volunteers wanting to make a difference. The park will be for the people of Chicago, especially the residents of North London. Would you like to help? If you would like to find out more about the Peace Parks of North London project, or would like to find out about volunteering for this project, please email contact@urbanartretreat.com. contact@urbanartretreat.com and indicate which Saturday at noon you can attend orientation to learn all about the project. You may call and leave a message at 773-542-9126 if you don't have access to the internet. Leave your name, phone number, and the day you wish to attend orientation. We are all volunteers working on this amazing project. We look forward to meeting you.
Okay, so today we're talking with a group of young people. I'm here, Diana, and
Cesar,
and we've got
Evelyn,
Olivia,
Jaden,
Nathan,
Ethan.
Okay, so we're all here today, and we're going to have a conversation that includes talking about police brutality, racism, poverty, classism. So I thought to get us started, I would talk about one of the actions that, as a volunteer at Urban Art Retreat, Cesar and I got involved in a little bit. So when the police officer who shot and killed Rekia Boyd was going before the judge to find out if he was going to be held responsible for her death, and was going to be in the courthouse in California. Cesar and I went down there to see what was happening and to at least support her family, which must have been a terrible, horrible thing for them. And they were going to find out that day if the police officer was going to go on trial. So we went down there. We took the bus. We went down there. It took quite a while, but a lot of people ended up forming outside the courthouse. We went inside in time to stand outside the courtroom. We found out that they weren't allowing anybody in. We stood alongside the walls outside the courtroom and waited to see what was happening. After a little while, we heard I heard a really loud scream, and it was like really, to me, deafening. And then the door burst open and some people came flooding out, especially this one young man. And it turns out he was her brother, and he was really, really upset. It turns out they were not going to hold the police officer responsible. They were not going to hold him over for trial. The judge had made his decision, and everybody was very upset. And all of a sudden, the police were pushing everybody around, and even though I was up against the wall and was far from the action, really, police were telling me to move out of the building and get along and that kind of thing. And I said, you know, I wasn't doing anything. I was just standing there. And they were very rude and very pushy. And we all ended up outside the courtyard at any rate. And it ended up being a protest against the judge's decision and a protest against police brutality. This young woman had been standing with a group of her friends in a park. And a police officer had shot shot into this group of young people and had killed her. And it was just after school, and they weren't doing anything. They were just standing in the park, and they weren't wanted for anything. And they weren't hoodlums, and they weren't selling or using drugs or anything. They were just standing there, and she ended up dying of her gunshot wounds. Her brother ended up talking outside to the microphone for quite some time, and I stood next to him for a while. And he was very, very upset, and he just couldn't understand how it come to this, that one day he had a sister and the next day she was dead, and that it wasn't by some gangster or bad guy, but by a police officer. And it also, that his sister hadn't been doing anything. She was just doing what she did after school, which a lot of kids do after school. So I want to bring this into our discussion here with the young people sitting around the table and say, you know, what happened here? Well, why did this happen? Why did this police officer end up shooting this girl?
I feel like this partially happened because police have this power and this authority, and so they're aware of that. Like, they know that they have this power, and so since they know that, I feel like they have an advantage. Like, they feel like, oh, I can get away with this. And that specific police officer, this isn't the first time it's happened. Like, it's happened several times, and he probably figured, oh, people in the past, they were not, you know, convicted or sent to jail or anything for it, so I'll be okay. And part of the reason is also because, like, the legal system and the police system probably have their links, like, they're probably connected in some way, and the legal system probably protects him for that reason. He has that advantage.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Jaden? Why did this happen?
Because just out of racism.
Yeah, would it have happened in a upper-class white neighborhood?
No, it would not happen.
Yeah.
Nathan,
any thoughts?
I felt like he did this based out of stereotyping. He saw a bunch of African Americans in a group, and he's like, oh no, they're doing something illegal, so he just shot in the crowd.
What were you going to say?
Well, it was going to be something along those lines, but also I was going to bring up the point of the fact that we can't, well, it's not that we can't get angry, we definitely get angry, but we don't expect this kind of behavior from the people that are supposed to protect us. And I feel like police, we give them this duty to protect the innocent, and those same people are the ones that are, you know, gunning people down for no reason, seemingly no reason at all. And I was just wanting to bring that up.
What to do, Ethan? You know, did this have to do with money? Did it have to do with poverty? Did it have to do with a low-income neighborhood?
Yeah, I think it has to do with low-income neighborhood.
Yeah. It seems like these kinds of things, like, you never hear them happening in rich neighborhoods, do you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the police know that only white people are living in rich neighborhoods.
Yeah. So, what are people's thoughts on the association of poverty, low income, with classism and crime against people? What are people's thoughts about this? How does classism work into what happens with police brutality?
Well, I feel like you can tie it in. Because police, they think low income, they think people who are going to do whatever's necessary to get money no matter what, and they just imagine that they're going to do illegal things. So they come to these low income neighborhoods and they think it's full of people that will do illegal things. Meanwhile, they go to a rich neighborhood and it's just white people, white middle-aged people with families and everything, and they think, oh, this place is perfectly fine, nothing illegal here, they're responsible or whatever, and they think that they have, like, a stable job and everything is okay. Associate those kind of people with the people that would commit crimes.
So there's an association between class and crime?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And yet, What's the real truth about class and crime?
The higher class you are, the less likely you do crime. And the lower class you are, the more likely you're going to do crime.
Is that the truth? Are you speaking the truth now?
I think that's the association.
Mm-hmm. By who? Who makes that association? Is that your? Is that how you think?
No, I feel like that's just instilled into us with media and just people that have power.
Mm-hmm.
The man.
The man. Yeah.
Mm.
The man still exists. Yeah. So, and Nathan, does everybody think this way? Is it true? Is it a truth? Or an alternate truth?
I don't think it's a truth. Like, if you were to go ask in a low-income neighborhood if they commit crimes, they would probably say no. They're just trying to get enough money to survive, even though the society hasn't been very fair with them. And it's just even worse when they have, like, just police going through, just, like, thinking that they're committing crimes against society and just keep going through and bothering them.
So, in every class, there's all kinds of colors and religions and stuff. But what about the lower class or the low-income, poverty-stricken people? Does there tend to be more of a population of people of color, do you think?
I think there might be with the current society laws. Like, people who are from African-American descent mostly are in here because they're not treated fairly. They can't get a job because of their race. They're not paid as much as their other employees because of their color.
Yeah. I was reading somewhere that the ability to read is affected by this, too. So growing up with... not being able to read is affected by this too, which really keeps people behind. So, if, say you got a double whammy, or maybe it's a triple whammy, so you're low income, and maybe you're a person of color too, so how do the police view a person of color who's also low income?
They view them as a person who's more likely to commit crime because they think they have an inability to work because of their supposed disability.
So they might be committing crime to get money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Caesar, what do you think about all this? You know, what do you think about all this?
Well, I think that rich people have more resources. So obviously, if something happens, something like that happens to them, where there's an injustice committed against them by police, obviously they're gonna be able to. Follow up through with their problem at hand, and if they are rich enough, they will have all the resources to go through the end with to solve their problem. People that are poor or don't have a lot of money, they might just rely on legally they are entitled to have representation, but that does not guarantee them that they're gonna have unlimited, services. I mean, if a lawyer is provide services to a poor person or person who don't have a lot of money, if the decision comes through, I don't know if that person will have another chance to appeal or follow up with a case. Would I see that maybe when maybe these things happen, we notice these things happening with people who don't have resources, while other people might have different...
another difference between the classes is resources, and in this case, the right to a fair trial, because, how would you feel more secure? Like, let's say you were accused of a crime, and you went into court, mm-hmm. and let's say because, you didn't have very much money, you had a public defender. And a public defender shows up, and they've just got your file. Okay, let's go. Or the same crime, but, your daddy makes like $40 million a year. And you go into court, And you've got four lawyers, and they've already been working on your case for 2 months. What do you think your chances are of getting off that crime between these two scenarios?
Definitely.
See what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's not enough just to have a lawyer. You've got to, you know, have the best chance you can get when you go to court, right? And low-income people don't have the best chance they can get. And they're often taken advantage of because of that. And in cases of police who look upon people negatively, they think that. So, oh, well, this kid's, I mean, look at this kid. Got holes in his pants, and it looks like he hasn't eaten in a few months, and his parents are nowhere to be found, and they're probably drug dealers or whatever. You know, nobody's going to care what I do to this kid. And you see this kid's chances? With this cop. Now, not all cops are like this. Don't get me wrong. This is a generalization. But for the cops who are, they have a lot more power in those situations where there's a low-income person with not many resources. They have a lot more power in that situation than if they were dealing with the governor who has a lot of resources and they were trying to get him for something. They wouldn't even try. You know, they say, oh, well, he's the governor. You know, he can do what he wants to do because he's got a lot of money and a lot of lawyers. So that's kind of the point. Now, what if a kid's a black kid from the other side of the tracks on top of everything? And what if it's a racist cop? So all these things are, you know, you take into account, and it makes the situation very unfair. And that's why it's a social justice issue. So let's spend some time talking about what are some things we can do to help these kinds of situations. So we're talking about police brutality. We're talking about classism. We're talking about poverty. What are some things we can do with what we've been talking about? Who can think of one thing that we could do to improve the situation or to work to make it better?
I think at least like getting people to come together and like come to an understanding, not just like the minorities, but also like the middle class people mainly, because the middle class makes up a lot of the United States. Like there's only that 1% of rich people who are mostly privileged and white and racist. So I feel like to get support and just advocate at least or try to and like support towards this, then at least you're raising some awareness. But yeah.
Okay, everybody be thinking. I'm going to ask you in a minute. So bring them together. And what would you have them do once you bring them together?
I mean,
bring them together to do what or say what? Or
I would say to protesting is mainly, like, I feel like that would be a good way to have their voices heard. But also, like, yeah, like, I would say to, like, gather and protest. But then also, like, even in the media, I don't know if this would be possible because the media is very, like, biased and stuff, but if there would be some way to just, like, get it on, like, news stations or broadcast, you know, these issues or, like, publish it even in the papers, I feel like those are all ways to, like, spread the word and help.
Okay. So we need to get the word out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All righty. How about you, dear? You got something?
I was just going to say that, people seem to listen more to people who have more resources. So not only the ones that are in power, the ones with privilege, we should try to get them to realize that they have privilege and that they need to do something about it, that they need to give people who don't have as much privilege a chance to kind of, like, speak out on this issue. And I feel like if people realize just how much privilege certain people have, that will really help it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, say that a white person isn't aware that they have a likelier chance of getting a job because they have a white name and not I want to say like a exotic name, but I can't think of the word for it, like a unique name. Instead, they have a white name. They're more likely. There's like this bias that they're more likely to get that job, and I feel like if they become aware of that, if they can see that there is an injustice in that, then they can help the issue become more public, and even more people will be aware of it.
Okay. Nathan?
I see, like, a way to help reduce the police brutality is have, like, several policemen together, so, and they have to, like, have, like, a check on them, like, have, like, a little test they have to do, like, if they're doing their job correct, or are they just going around purposely convicting others of doing crimes or not.
So maybe a little checklist, like, after each incident, an easy one, because they'll say, oh, paperwork. Cops hate paperwork. Well, we all do. But maybe a checklist of five things, you know, how did you treat this person, you know, five questions, and just check a yes or a no. Were you this way? Were you that way? I don't know, something like that. That's actually, I like that idea. Jane, what can you come up with, like, amongst all these issues that we just talked about? What are some things we can do to help, or what's one thing we could do to help or work toward making things better?
Like, have a colored cop with a white cop in each car. So when they go around the block, the color cop would be there with them, see what he does.
I like that too. What did you come up with, Ethan?
Like keeping the camera on all the cops, like in the cop's car, where they're going, like a GPS, what they're doing. They have to have, like, put, and have like a certain reason to grab their gun.
They have to have certain reasons to grab their guns,
yeah.
Lisa?
Yeah.
I guess that's another thing, like our gun laws and stuff like that. That's also, that could also be a way to like restrict, or like at least with weapons, like classes of weapons that they are allowed to carry with them. That could be another way. I feel like with police brutality, it's something that could probably be like fixed more, like at least quicker than like classism, because classism has like always existed, like for years and years and years. You always have like the white male at the top, and like women and minorities like at the bottom. So I feel like that takes more of like how to put this, like ideological, like something like mentally, like that people have to realize. Rather than, like, police brutality takes that, too, but it also, you could restrict it, like, in the ways that they said, with, like, restricting.
Yeah, so it's kind of like parallel. There's ideology, and it does have to be changed, the way people think. But parallel with concrete things that you can do that are very doable, you know, like having. Yeah, exactly. It's always good to try to come up with some ideas of how to change things and not just talk about what the problem is, because it can be overwhelming, it can be depressing, it can just make you feel like, you know, why bother? So it's very good to think about how to fix things. And I also wanted to just get you thinking about these things. So let's end this here, and we'll talk more in future.
Let me tell you about the Peace Parks of North London project. We are creating a peace park from a vacant lot, one part of the park at a time, one weekend at a time. We are volunteers wanting to make a difference. The park will be for the people of Chicago, especially the residents of North London. Would you like to help? If you would like to find out more about the Peace Parks of North London project, or would like to find out about volunteering for this project, please email contact@urbanartretreat.com, contact@urbanartretreat.com, and indicate which Saturday at noon you can attend orientation to learn all about the project. You may call and leave a message at 773-542-9126 if you don't have access to the internet. Leave your name, phone number, and the day you wish to attend orientation. We are all volunteers working on this amazing project. We look forward to meeting you.
So, we've been talking with some youth today and touched on some issues. And I wanted to talk briefly about currently we formed a committee that has been meeting with the 10th District Police Department to discuss the ACLU's 9 model state and law enforcement policies and rules. So the ACLU came up with these 9 law enforcement policies and rules regarding how immigrants shall be treated. And they recruited people from all over the United States to form meetings to of people that would be getting together and coming up with people who would go talk with their local police department about these enforcement policies and rules. At any rate, we met with our local district, and some of the policies we're quite excited to learn were already being followed. They included a judicial warrant rule that officials shall require judicial warrant prior to detaining an individual or in any manner prolonging the detention of an individual at the request of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Also, a no facilitation rule that officials shall not arrest, detain, or transport an individual solely on the basis of an immigration detainer or other administrative document issued by ICE. In addition, another rule defined access that we would, unless acting pursuant to a court order or a legitimate law enforcement purpose that is unrelated to the enforcement of a civil immigration law, no official shall permit ICE agents access to our local facilities or any person in custody in our local facilities for investigative purposes. A clear identification rule. To the extent that ICE has been granted access to our local facilities, individuals with whom ICE engages will be notified that they are speaking with ICE and that ICE agents have to be required to wear duty jackets and make their badges visible at all times while in local facilities. We actually found out from the police department that ICE is not welcome, is not allowed inside our police district departments. So further, there's a don't ask rule. Officials shall not into the immigration or citizenship status of an individual except where the inquiry relates to a legitimate law enforcement purpose that is unrelated to the enforcement of a civil immigration law or one required by state or federal law. Now, to verify eligibility for a benefit or service. Is that everything?
Yes. We're done.
That definitely was not 10 minutes.